Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. Joining us on our studio on the south side of Alamosa is Adams State head football coach Levi Gallus.
Gallus. Dallas with a G.
I'll never forget that.
No, that's my recruiting pitch.
Gallus like Dallas. I like that. How are you, coach? Good to meet you.
Good to meet you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you in here. We love talking about Grizzly football, Grizzly athletic. Big night coming up, RMAC women's basketball tournament. This episode will be out after the game, but I know you've been catching some of that fever.
Oh, yeah.
On campus with that basketball team.
No, absolutely. It was about 2 weeks ago. We had the whole football team out there supporting our athletic men's and women's basketball teams there. And, yeah, it's going to be an exciting one tonight to have the girls to play first round against UCCS. I know they're a good ball club, talking to Mario in the hallways and getting geared up for it. It's going to be a fun one.
Well, and I like that, too, for you because, you know, I know you're an alum of Adams State. We're going to talk about that. But you're new as the head football coach, 2 months, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, something like that in. And now you get to see that student body come to life for the women's basketball team, which I think says bring a successful team on the court, on the football field, wherever, and you're going to get that excitement, that passion, that Adams State feel to it.
Yeah, I always feel like the Valley kind of has that similar feeling to Field of Dreams.
Right.
If you build the program, the Valley will show up. And that's kind of the sense of what Mario's been doing over these last couple of years is, you know, continued success on the court, continued involvement in the Valley, continued, you know, success. You're going to find that nature of the Valley showing up and supporting. And I think that's what we're going to see here tonight, too.
Yeah, no, I like that, too. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. We're going to get into you as the head coach, your first year as a head coach. But give us a little bit more about who came with you, your wife, Haley. You have a 7-year-old, 4-year-old daughter, 7-year-old son. Give us a little bit about that. I like the story of how you met your wife. Share that story with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're at Eastern New Mexico at the time.
Correct. So a lot of people ask me where I'm from. So I kind of like to start there, and I just tell them Colorado. Born and raised all over the state. I grew up being a coach's kid, and so I was on the front range to the western slope, came down to here for school, went back to the metro area for my first couple years. But then when I started my college career as a coach, I was in Port Talos, New Mexico. And many of the people of the Valley might remember a name, Dr. Jeff Geiser, He was my AD in the time in which I was a coach. And so that's kind of what linked me down there.
Gotcha.
But as I was coaching, I met this very pretty girl that was just getting done being a student down there, and she was still in the rodeo world, as that's why she went to Eastern Mexico. And it just so happened that we actually grew up right across from each other at rival high schools, and so that was kind of a good initial talking point. We're coming up on our 10th anniversary in May, and yeah, we have two beautiful young children, a boy 7 years old, Oakley Gallus, and then a 4-year-old girl, Paxton Gallus.
You know, I've done what you did, which is move your family from a market to a new market, moving from a job to a different job, looking at opportunity. And I've done that move where you take your wife and your young children into a new environment, new town, new place from what they had been. How do you do that? What for you is the trick to that, to getting the family settled in as you settle into your job? Because that's a thing.
You marry the right person. That's
yeah.
what you do.
There you go.
If that gal is willing to do that stuff with you, then it makes it a lot easier. I always tell her, even today, that I feel like she got the raw end of the deal, in which I go and try to get things set up at the new place, and she's dealing with the day-to-day operations of the house right now. But you continue to just talk with the kids. You continue to engage them in what's happening. For us, it's coming home. It's not just me, it's her too as well. From New Mexico, we went to Nebraska, and then we went to Texas. And to be able to explain to my son and my daughter that we're going to the mountains, to engage in the fact that we're going to be around fishing again and hunting and climbing and things in which that excites them as younger kids. I think it makes it a little bit easier for me right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're kind of in that molding stage of making friends, you know, being engaged in athletic sports and stuff of that nature. And so that's going to be a little difficult, leaving some of that stuff. But to explain to them, hey, those same opportunities are here in the Valley. And, you know, they're just as excited about being a Grizzly as I am.
And how about when you first show up in the locker room, January, I'm going to say 2025 of this year, you got hired, announced in December, I think it was. You show up in January, you're starting, you've been here now 2 months or so. But you show up in the locker room for the first time as the new head coach, and you're faced with players who are still in school return. How do you handle that? What was your message, or how does your style come into an environment where you're the first-year head coach, you're meeting players for the first time, you're in that locker room for the first time, these things are hitting you? What comes across?
A lot of feelings, to be honest with everybody. It's I think taking over a locker room in general, in terms of a football program, is unique in the sense that it takes a lot of individuals, a lot of working pieces, and I knew that was going to be a challenge in my first, you know, era as a football coach, but this one's different. You know, it's not just another football program. This is home for me. And so, you know, even today, when you bring up the nature of walking into this locker room, I memories just start hitting me of the way it was when I was playing, from the alumni and the programs in which that were before me, and things that have been done here in the Valley and in Adams State with the Indians and the Grizzlies and that whole nature of things. It's an incredible feeling. But then when you start talking to these players, you can sense the eagerness of wanting to get to that level again.
Mm-hmm.
The eagerness to want to, you know, go out and perform for the people of this great community. Mm-hmm. And
let me, I should give some background too on you when you talk about it's a homecoming for you. You were an All-RMAC selection. You were a team MVP for Adams State football as a linebacker and as a track and field athlete. I mean, you were a two-sport star at Adams State. You had an incredible high school career as well. So it is home for you because you know that locker room. You've been in Plucky Hall. You lived in there for 5 years or so.
Yeah, so, it still gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, that though is the context and perspective we're talking about here.
Yeah.
What is this opportunity? Because you've been climbing the coaching ladder.
Correct.
High school football assistants, most recently defensive coordinator, West Texas A&M. You've been climbing the ladder, and now your alma mater taps you and says, you're the new head coach of Adams State football. Your first time as a head football coach opportunity opens the door for you. What's that like? What do you see in there?
You know, I see a lot of, in my opinion, it's going to take a lot of pieces. It's not just me. As much as I want to shoulder this thing like I did as you know, a young buck coming up, it's not the nature of that in reality. Just as being a football player, this game is not one person. You know, the starlight quarterback, the MVP linebacker, or what that might be. Yeah, they did. They got their name in the newspaper, but that's not what made them click and what made those teams good. It was more involvement than just that, and that's kind of the nature of. A lot of people see we us are like that's what I'm branding in this program, and it's. We will do what's right. It's going to take all of us, and this is our team. And that sequence is how I'm looking to attack this program right now. It's not going to be all me. I know I'm going to be the one signing off on it, and it's going to be my name and whatnot. But I want to dig those roots deeper into this valley again because it's going to take all of us to get this thing back to where it was. And so the you know, those feelings that I have and those memories of which I played in and being in Rec Stadium and having that place rocking, you know, I'm resorting back to the way I remember it being, like, here, what has worked here before. And then also sprinkling in that nature of my last 14 years in college athletics, of being around programs in which we didn't have a lot and we had to be resourceful, and, you know, making sure that you allocated your time and your funds and your energy in the right areas to make sure that you were able to put together a good product on the field.
You know, I've always talked, when we've ever talked Adams State Athletics here, it doesn't matter if it's football, basketball, cross country, running, etc., Division II athletics in the NC2A is very good. That is top level competition, Division II in the NC2A. There are a lot of really good athletes, a lot of really good teams. And I know Adams State hasn't had success on the football field over the past period of years. But I've watched those teams, coach, and it's small things, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That detail, you can close detail. The gap on talent, or you can find talented players or players that can compete at the D2 level. And I think Adams State has had those players, but it's these little things that are the difference makers, it seems like, when you're looking at that competition and you're looking at those teams across from each other.
Absolutely.
It's just these little things.
Yep.
You've got athletes in that locker room, I'm going to guess.
100%. That, you know, coming in, it wasn't like the cupboards were bare. There are definitely some individuals that are going to be able to help us right away. And the truth of the matter is, you know, you go back and you look at the way things have been done in the college world of athletics. It's not like anybody and everybody's come up with this new blueprint. The old blueprints still work today. The things in which Lou Holtz and Nick Saban and, you know, dating back to older coaches of the era of Michigan and Alabama and whatnot, they all worried about one thing, and that was the detail. You know, you focus on the detail, you focus on the process of a program, then the big things start to transition. Then the big things start to happen for you on the football field. You're absolutely right in that, you know, the gap is small, in which, you know, sets us apart from other organizations within our conference and within the NCAA Division II level. But the true nature is that detail. Who's focusing on that?
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to, as things get started here for you, you have spring ball coming up here at the end of March, and then you'll take a break, and then you'll come back for summer, and you'll have that summer session, and fall will be here before you know it. And I'm looking forward to seeing how you coach in terms of those small things and the culture that comes out of a Levi Gallus coach team. We're going to talk more about that when we come back. This is the Valley Pod. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Hannah Eubanks with a Valley Calendar update. Here are the events you can look forward to this week. On Thursday at Leon Memorial, you can see Alistair Frazier and Natalie Haas in concert. Also on Thursday, there's a lunar eclipse viewing event at the Cosmos Stargazing Resort and Spa. Friday is Hysteria Heart's Heartthrob Release Party. Copies of the zine will be for sale, and Allison and Jean will talk about their vision starting this indie press. The event is at 6 at the Narrow Gauge Book Co-op. Society Hall welcomes the Martin Gilmore Trio this Friday at 7:30 p.m. Spadefoot Story Slam invites you to the Narrow Gauge Book Co-op on Saturday to hear and share stories about bugs. Celebrate St. Patrick's Day in Del Norte at the 1874 Distilling from 11 to 2. Lucky Overton and the Yardangs will be providing the jams. If you have an event coming up, submit it to the Valley Calendar. All you have to do is head to the Valley Calendar page on alamosacitizen.com, click online form, and give us the details. Have a great week.
Hey, we're back. We're talking to Levi Gallus. He's the new head football coach at Adams State. And I think, coach, tell us about how you coach football. You're defensive. I mean, you're an MVP. You're a linebacker. You're the defensive coordinator at a couple of places. West Texas A&M most recently. Before that, you were at Nebraska Kearney. So you're a defensive-minded football guy. But I also know you're a track and field athlete.
Right. Oh, yeah. No,
you can bring the offense, too, I think.
A little bit.
What are we going to see? What's your style of football, would you say, as we just kind of prepare for the Levi Gallus era at Adams State?
We're going to be different. I think that's what you're going to see on the field. the product is going to be different. We're going to be different on offense. We're going to be different on defense. We're going to be different in special teams. The interesting fact about myself, too, is I came here as a quarterback. So I still see the game in the way in which I was grew up and playing quarterback and being a coach's kid. You know, you kind of always saw the game a little bit different than maybe everybody else because you weren't just doing film sessions at the school, but you're doing film sessions at home too. And so the nature of how you saw things was a little bit different than maybe other people. And so, but in the true nature of just defense in general, we're going to be aggressive. You know, I think it's important that we continue to teach that element of the game. You know, so much has happened in college football and NFL and in ways in which we view this game that we love, but I don't think we need to lose the identity that it's still an aggressive game. And so that's what you're going to see in which we coach these guys, is that we're going to coach them aggressively and teaching them the finer details of technique and alignment and the assignment principles, but still understanding, hey, you know, if you go beat that dude, if you go win the one-on-one battle, then you're going to make a huge impact in the overall team philosophy.
Identity, I think that's a good word. I think that's what, when I think back now over the past period of years, I think that's what I did not see ever from Adams State recently is an identity. Who are they? You know, you didn't know week to week what was going to show up or what side of the ball they were going to perform on. The inconsistency, I think, is what has really hurt Adams State over the past recently. You're talking about having a true identity, knowing that when you come to an Adams State football game, you know what you're getting into.
Absolutely. I you know, that's what it was when I was a player. And people will ask me still to this day of individuals that might have played for previous coaches like myself, Marty Heaton, Wayne McGinn, and individuals of that nature of, hey, are you going to bring back, you know, this identity that they established? And my answer is yes, but just not right away. I think to get to that point in time, you know, there's a lot of pieces in which we've got to put together to make that identity fully transition. You know, phase one, we are going to have our own identity offensively, defensively, and special teams. And teams that come play here or play against us, you know, they're gonna know that coming away from, you know, 2025, this first year of, okay, this is the identity that they're trying to establish. And then moving forward, we can build on that identity. But, you know, that's kind of that same principle of foundations and putting things in place right now in order for us to have future success.
Give us a quick rundown of who you brought with you coaching wise.
Absolutely. I got really lucky, yeah. To be honest. My offensive coordinator that I was able to bring on, he's also our assistant head coach. He was the offensive coordinator at WT.
Oh, nice.
So me and him were
those are some good teams, by the way, West Texas A&M.
Absolutely.
That is a good program.
Absolutely. And before that, he was at Texas A&M Kingsville as an offensive coordinator. And then before that, he won a national championship at New Mexico Military Institute with a very big household name that – Diego Pavia.
Hanging out in Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah. I plucked him out of there.
Right on.
So he came with us, and then offensive line was going to be Nick Olney, an individual that made a huge name for himself in Colorado Springs in high school era, but not just that. He was a coach at Colorado College before they shut down. He was a coach at Minnesota Morris just recently as he jumped back into the college game, so got really lucky to get him. And then the other two assistant coaches that I got were Caleb Kazuski, who was at Emporia State, Division II program that competes in the MIAA, and then also at Monmouth. He's going to be handling our special teams and wide receivers. And then we got Nick Gossage, another big name in Colorado. The Gossage family has been in the Colorado Springs area. He's a guy that I recruited out of high school, and then
So I gotta stop you on the Gossage name.
Yeah.
Especially when you said Colorado Springs.
Yeah, baseball.
Yeah.
He's related.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That's
now,
cool.
Now his father though, I can't remember the complete family tree in that nature, but definitely related to that individual. But Nick is, he was just recently coaching up at Chatham State. And so we were able to get him to come down and coach our defensive line. And
very
then
nice.
Our graduate assistants are all the same graduate assistants that were on the previous staff. Damari Reynolds. He's going to be coaching our secondary. We got Dan Rolette. He's going to be coaching our outside linebackers. And then we have Zaire Banner, who's going to be coaching our running backs and tight ends. Both Damari and Zaire played here. So getting a couple of alums to come back and help coach is also a good feeling as well. And then luckily enough, I'm going to convince my father to come down and, you know, give us some wise words during the season as well.
What does your dad do now? Or what? Give us a history on your father.
Absolutely. So my dad played at Random High School and then went on and played at Colorado State.
Yeah.
He was an offensive lineman. When he got done with that, he went out actually and coached at USC, Southern Colorado, before his CSU Pueblo. Coached there until the program was actually shut down football-wise and then transitioned into the high school game.
So he was at Pueblo when they shut that program down. I was at the Pueblo Chieftain at that time.
Yeah. So he was actually coaching with a lot of those same names. I'm sure there's a lot of names we could toss back and forth together.
Yep.
No, then he jumped into the high school rankings and was a head coach at North Glen High School to Grand Junction High School, jumped back over to Smoky Hill High School.
It's really cool to hear you talk about all these Colorado connections and you being from Colorado and having you back here and at Adams State. I just think, and I've said this to Caitlin, I've said this to others, they found a heck of a candidate in you to get you to come here.
Well, I tell you,
I mean, that's good for us.
No, when I was when this opportunity, what's unique about me too is I coach for the last 14 in college with the same head coach. So Josh Lynn was the head coach when I got to Eastern, and he's the head coach at West Texas A&M. And so from being a GA to a position coach to a special teams coordinator to a defense coordinator, everything was working up under him. Well, during that whole era as well, I knew I wanted to be a head coach. But there's, you know, there's that saying of the grass isn't always greener somewhere else. I realized I had it. I was in a good situation. You know, he was a family man. He taught me, you know, the ways of how to see the game as a head coach and was allowing me to take on these different roles throughout my career. And so I knew it was going to have to be something pretty special to take me away. But when this job opened up, I went into his office. I still remember it. He's like, I know.
Yeah.
I know. This one's tugging at
you. Made too much sense. Yeah, it makes too much sense for you.
Yeah, and it just tugs at you different. And when I drove up, you know, through the La Vida Pass and I came over the mountain and saw Blanca again, hey, you talk about memories. You talk about goosebumps. Like, this place means something different.
Hey, what about let's just talk quickly about recruiting and how you see recruitment in 2025 in this day and age in football? Because you do see a lot of transfers, even in Division II level. How do you see the recruitment, high school athletes, Colorado landscape, New Mexico, whatever? How do you recruit high school? Where are they? And what do you have in the locker room or what have you brought in since you've been here?
Yeah, great question. You know, I think Adams State has found a lot of success in the box in Colorado. There's individuals within this state up and down I-25 corridor that see Alamosa as being home. Not everybody. You know, there is individuals that enjoy the city life and being in around more people, but you know what the Valley actually has to offer, there's a lot of people that find this place special like I do. And so that's what I wanted to try to establish first. You know, with the relationships that I have in Colorado, even though I wasn't in Colorado recruiting, that was my main state that I had to recruit. So whether I was at Eastern Mexico, to Kearney, to WT, I was constantly coming up here to try to find athletes to come play for us outside of the state. Mm-hmm. So I knew there was a giant population of Division II athletes. You know, you watch ESPN on signing days and whatnot. Yeah, there's a lot of great talent in Georgia and Florida and California, just based off of numbers, Texas. But what Colorado has to provide is a lot of good Division II talent. And Division II world will always be a developmental, you know, area in which we're going to take guys that might be tall enough but not big enough, that might be big enough and not tall enough, might not be fast enough, and we're going to bring them here to the Valley and develop them to be able to go out and be extremely successful at the Division II level. And so that was kind of the first nature of what I wanted to do is, hey, we're going to go, you know, establish ourselves back into Colorado. That was something, being an alum, every day I looked up the roster. I noticed that we didn't have a lot of Colorado kids. Well, when you have Colorado kids on your roster, you know, they have a better success rate of staying around and playing all 4 or 5 years here at Adams State.
Plus, it's easier for their families to come and see them.
Absolutely. 3.5 hours to Denver is nothing.
Right.
You know, and so being able to get mom and dad to come down and see him play, we are so centrally located in terms of the RMAC too as well, that families have no problem getting to Grand Junction, getting to Golden, getting to, right, you know, Pueblo and some of these other areas, in which why not recruit within a regional standpoint of our state first, and then, you know, go out and see what you can find in New Mexico, then go out and see what you can find in Arizona and maybe some California nature of things. But yeah, in our first recruiting class, we signed 36 kids, 31 from Colorado.
Yeah, who excites you?
I'm
sure they all do.
Yeah. There's quite a bit of that truly excite me. And I love when people ask me, you know, what do you think of your recruiting class?
Yeah.
And a lot of times is, I'll tell you in 4 and 5 years.
Yeah, right,
you know,
right,
because
right.
That really right. tells you how good of a class it was that. But
well, and the other thing, too, that I want you to talk a little bit about, and that's the level of competition in the RMAC. That is a very good Division II conference. I mean, you have a perennial Colorado Mines coming out there that's competing for the national title at a Division II level, right?
Yep.
We've seen USC, Pueblo. Pueblo's been there, CSU. Pueblo's been there at that level over the past period of years. I mean, it's a tough conference.
No, it is. It is. Top to bottom, it's one of the most equal conferences I think there is in Division II football. You know, you talk about those two. You talk about the team up north doing their good things over the last couple years. And then, you know, you still have the traditional history of what Mesa's product is, of what Shattern's product is. Black Hills and South Dakota Mines continue to push the bar and the limits, as well as Highlands. And yeah, I think it's a very competitive conference top to bottom. You throw Fort Lewis into the mix. You know, over the last couple of years, he's gotten things started turning around in the right direction. And so, excited about the opportunity to go and compete against those teams.
How much of a benefit is it to you to have been at West Texas A&M, which again was a good program, is a good program? What did you learn or take away from that?
You know, I think you take away kind of what the elite is working with and how they're working with those things, and which, you know, what is it that we can do that is similar to that nature of what maybe West Texas is doing. But I'm a comeback kid, like in true nature of things. Like I'd much rather be at a school like this. This is who I am.
Yeah.
You know, I'd much rather, you know, put my nose to the ground and be blue collar and work hard for what we have, and then create that honor and that pride about what we have as well.
I haven't looked at the Grizzlies' schedule for 2025. Is West Texas on that schedule? Because I know it has been in the past.
No, that was a couple years ago. No, they're not on the schedule. We still have University of Texas Permian Basin, but not WT.
Which is a good program.
It is a very good program.
My daughter lives in Midland, Texas, so I'll travel to that game if it's there or if they come in here.
Yeah, they're coming here this year. Yeah, we went there last year. So.
Yeah, no, I remember that. That's cool. UT Permian is a good program. I want to ask you one more question. We appreciate you coming in and giving us some of your background, getting to know you. Really look forward to watching you, your coaches, the team this year in 2025. What's on your wish list? When you've come in here, you've been here a couple of months, you know the facilities, you've been in there before, but it's changed since you've been here. What would be on your wish list at this point when it comes to the facilities or just being able to compete, making sure that Adams State can put a competitive team out there? What would come to mind, if anything, at this point?
You know, I think you talk about facilities. The biggest thing is maybe the Jumbotron, you know, and just, you know, providing a good atmosphere. The thing about it, though, is you walk into that stadium, and I've been in the MIAA and the Lone Star and played against teams in the Gulf, not Gulf South, but across the Northern Division IIs to the Southern Division IIs. And our stadium is special.
Yeah.
It is truly a special place, and nobody has it like us. And so just continuing to build on that fact that, hey, we have a special stadium that nobody else has. And so continuing to just upkeep with it, you know, that scoreboard is a big place from which provides advertisement, but also a place in which, you know, you can throw a highlight video, you can throw, you know, the YMCA, Kiss Cam, whatever it might be. To continue to generate a good atmosphere for college athletics. You know, that if you were to say one wish list, I think that's kind of the big one right now. And I think everybody knows it. It's not something in which I'm surprising anybody with.
Right. A new Jumbotron. There you go. That's a doable ask on a wish list.
Absolutely. I think it's definitely doable. And I think everybody's excited about trying to do that and making it happen because people want to come back to the game.
Yeah.
They want to be there.
Yeah, no, it's looking forward to it. It's always great to start something new with a new head coach. There's a lot of hope there. But I really, my expectations, Coach, be honest with you, are up there a little bit because of your background, because you're an alum, because you're a tenacious guy. I'm really looking forward to this, so appreciate you coming by. We hope to do it again.
Absolutely, definitely. Definitely. I appreciate you, Chris, and setting this thing up, and anything I can do.
Yeah, we'll stay in touch with Coach Gallus here as he goes through his first year at Adams State and make sure that we hear from him and we stay up with the team. It's going to be an exciting year at Adams State football coming up. Appreciate it. Good to see you.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. Hey, you've been listening to the Valley Pod on our episode with Adams State head football coach Levi Gallus. Rhymes with Dallas. We're never going to forget that, Owen. The Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. We'll see you around the Valley.
Hi, I'm Marty Jones, host of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. Join us every other Wednesday as we talk to outdoor enthusiasts, wildlife experts, recreationists, lovers of the outdoors, and people who spend their days and their lives outside. On the Outdoor Citizen, we talk all things outside and outdoors, provide you with the latest data and measurements for water and weather, give you upcoming outdoor events, and keep you up to date on the latest news. The Outdoor Citizen is brought to you by the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, enjoy the out of doors.